Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. Well, today is Friday, and that means freaking fabulous Friday. I love Fridays because who's here? Dr. Judy Jasek. Good morning, Dr. Jasek. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hanging in there. I got past my, issues of losing my mom. That was kind of a rough few weeks. And of course, they're not completely over it, but we're moving forward. My energy's coming back up and we're ready to go.
Yeah, that is so hard. And as we were talking, I think the realization that you won't get to talk to somebody anymore is startling, isn't it? It's kind of a shock to the system. It's like you probably just automatically think, hey, I'm going to call my mom. Or, my mom, every single day, she sends me a Bible verse every single day.
Really?
And also to my brother and her grandkids. So she sends it every single day and says, I love you.
Aww.
And then I say, I love you back. And then she sends me happy faces. So, yeah, you know, sweet. So I always think of that song. It's a country and western song. It says you're going to miss this, right? And it's talking about all the stuff and that today we might think, God, that's a hassle. Do you have to text me every day? Or it's the same, blah blah blah. But when it's gone, you're going to miss it, right?
Don't pass up those opportunities. I know I was calling my mom every day there, the last few months, at least before she passed. And sometimes I get to the end of the day, I'm tired. I don't feel like calling mom, but I'm sure glad I did it now. So don't pass up those opportunities because you don't know when they're going to go away.
I know. It's so crazy. I mean, the cancer that we're seeing out in the people world right now is just nuts, just exploding. And, certainly we've seen that in the dog world too. And I don't know, Dr. Jasek, at what point, I think that a lot of people are waking up, but at what point do we say, what the heck is going on, right? You and I, the motto is really stop poisoning your dog and feed them appropriately, feed them a species appropriate diet. But it's still the fear that goes along with, if I don't give my dog this poison, and this is how it doesn't make sense. If I don't give my dog this poison, they're going to get sick.
Yeah, right. So you're going to poison your dog to keep them healthy. It makes no sense. But, vaccines and pharmaceuticals are promoted as being good and being helpful and healthy. And people are very subject to fear. And as soon as you tell them, you don't do this, your pet could die from these diseases. Of course, they don't want their pet to die. So they're afraid. And so they get the vaccines. But you have to take a step back and think logically about this. How is poisoning your pet going to ever be in its best interest? It's not. And we see diseases show up all the time after pets have had rounds of vaccines. I've seen that correlation so much, and nobody's ever going to do that study because studies are funded by these big companies making these products. So you're never going to see a research study that proves this, but I've been doing this long enough and asking these questions and taking a good history and seeing this correlation between disease and vaccination. So I know it's real.
Well, and they can push it off as they've been doing for a very long time to something else. And I truly believe, Dr. Jasek, that some of these heart problems that we see in dogs, could it be that they're feeding an inappropriate diet that's interrupting the taurine levels? Could be. But my mind goes in a different direction where I say, what is in these chemicals, right? What is in these products that could be causing heart problems. Now, I agree that this vaccine that's out in the market today is something like we've never seen with the spike protein and the mRNA. Okay. But you see all these heart problems in people right now. And I know that there's not an mRNA vaccine that we're giving dogs, but what's in it that could be causing heart problems? And yet they can say grains or no grains.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, what side of you? It's so crazy. And it seems to be very easy to be nonsensical today. We just believe anything.
I know this, the whole thing about, the grains. Again, like people don't ask questions anymore. They don't question why is that important? Somebody tells them, well, your dog needs grain to have a healthy heart. And they just believe it without asking, well, why is that? Why does my dog need grain to have a healthy heart? It doesn't even make any sense. And it's never been proven. There is no definitive proof whatsoever that's true. It's just all propaganda, but people don't question. They just believe stuff they hear, and people have to wake up and start asking questions, start pushing back. I tell people, well, I can't go into, I can't take my dog in the ER if it doesn't have a rabies shot. Like, well, push back. Say, I'm not here for a rabies shot. I'm here for you to take care of my sick pet. You shouldn't be vaccinating sick pets anyway. I have another vet that I work with for my vaccines. And you either take care of it, or I'm going to take it someplace else. That's the only way that these vaccine mandates for pets are ever going to change is that people have to push back. If they just comply, it's just going to get worse.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what have you seen so we can have people look out for these. What have you seen when a pet has gone in and had a round of vaccines? What do you typically see? Or maybe it's not typical, but something has changed. Something has caused this dog to not be what it was. And the big thing is this toxic soup of vaccines. So what do you see sometimes with that?
We can see a whole range of things, it from serious things like seizures, and the thing that we need to remember though is the things that the vaccines can cause don't always show up immediately. So you can have a true allergic reaction like within an hour, where they break out in hives, or they start itching, or they start vomiting. Seen that happen where they just have a severe allergic reaction immediately. I've seen them seizure within a few days after vaccine because these components in these vaccinations, like distemper, is a virus that affects the central nervous system, as is rabies. And when you give these vaccines, it can inflame the brain and cause seizures, can cause behavior problems. I've seen dogs become more aggressive after the rabies shots, and notably, like all of a sudden, they're like biting their owner when they never used to. Things like that. Seeing that show up right after the rabies shot, and then the more subtle things like itchy skin. I see so many dogs, like young dogs, like year to year and a half, where they're just itching like crazy. We have these, horrible itchy skin cases. Well, they've just had all these rounds of puppy shots. I've never seen that happen in a dog that didn't have, a bazillion vaccines as a puppy, and usually, not fed a good diet at that same time. So you get this inflammatory process starting in the body, and the body is trying to detox. I saw a dog like that just yesterday that, dog had a full round of vaccines last month, was perfectly fine. Now has this super red inflamed skin on its belly. No other changes. Diet stayed the same. And the dog had the same thing occur last year after vaccines. Well, that's a clue. And if your dog's reacting and you have made this correlation that's reacting after the vaccines, it's probably going to get worse if you do it again. So not really a good idea. And here in Colorado, we can write medical exemptions for rabies. So, if we have a documented reaction to vaccinations, or any other chronic health condition, we can absolutely write a medical exemption.
So what do you think causes people to cave to get these rabies? Is it that they believe, well, if my dog happens to bite somebody, then my dog's going to be killed, which is not true. Why are they getting the rabies vaccine from what you hear?
Well, fear, because people are told that I've had quite a few people come in and say, well, if my dog bites somebody and it doesn't have a current rabies, then they're going to take it and euthanize it. Never seen that happen. They can be quarantined, but usually it's a home quarantine. I've only one time seen a dog taken away from the owner. It was because this person, he had anger issues. He got in a big fight with the animal control officer. So if you do end up in a situation like this, you really want to play nice. They're just doing their job. They don't really want to hurt your pet. And if you play nice, they will probably let you do the home quarantine. But if you're a jerk, they can throw the book at you. And that's what happened. But it was, you know, the dog was sent to a kennel to quarantine. It was not allowed to stay in the home. Most of the time, the dog can stay in the home, and then you have to take it in 10 days, has to go into a veterinarian, be checked over to make sure it doesn't have rabies. And then of course they will require you to get a rabies booster at that point for your dog. But I've never seen one killed. I have killed because it bit somebody and didn't have, you know, a current rabies, unless it's just an overtly aggressive dog that like kills a person, you know, extreme circumstances like that. I've had a number of people tell me that they are told that it is illegal. The veterinarian says it's illegal for them to treat their dog unless it has a current rabies shot. It's completely untrue. There is no such law. It's the veterinarian's choice. I mean, they can choose to refuse you service. That's their choice as a business owner, or if it's a corporate clinic and that's their corporate rules. They certainly have that choice, but there is no law. And that's where what I'm hearing most these days is it's about how a person, the guilt trip is that they're putting the staff at the veterinary clinic at risk because their dog is not vaccinated, which is ridiculous. Rabies is almost unheard of here in Colorado. I think anywhere in the United States, it's not common enough to even be a real medical concern, but that's, you know, what people are told. And I also understand if people, your pet is sick or hurt and you want it taken care of, you're very emotional, you're not thinking logically, and you just want your pet taken care of. And like, we just got to do this and then we'll take care of your pet. And you don't want to be running around town to other places. So people cave and give it. But like I said before, you have to push back. If you want this to stop, you have to push back and you have to take your business somewhere else, or they'll just keep doing it.
Well, that narrative, as we've seen in the past 2 years, is very effective. If you don't do something, you're going to affect the mm-hmm. other people, right? You're going mm-hmm. to cause harm to other people. And yet when we look in the pharmaceutical industry, they don't think that way at all.
No.
Right?
They can do as much harm as they want and just make billions of dollars doing it.
Right. And then years later, say, oh, we're sorry. And that's all they say. Now, I don't understand how you can release chemicals and drugs out into the society if you haven't done all of your research and you haven't put it through the rigorous testing. You know, that's what we think the FDA does and the CDC and all these, you know, three-letter agencies. Obviously, that is not true, Dr. Jasek. It's just not true at all. And that is very frightening. So the onus is on us. And if your vet says it is a law, then I would ask to see that law or state the number. What is the law? What is the name of the law? Where can I read up on that law and wait to do that thing that they want you to do before you actually do your research? Ask the question, where's the law?
Yeah, what's the number? Show me, where can I look that up? And they won't know because it doesn't exist.
Right. And Dogs Naturally has this chart that you can actually download that has core vaccines and non-core vaccines. And in the parvovirus, the distemper, and the adenovirus, those are all at your own discretion. Those are all at your own discretion. And in here, they even show Dr. Jacek where like distemper, it has a 15-year serology duration on it. 15 years, right? 9 years on adenovirus, 7 years on parvovirus. And even on here, they talk about in the rabies, it has that 7 year, and I think you and I think that, I don't even know if, I think it's longer and maybe even you don't need it. But anyway, that Neely and I were talking about that. And I think that that's going to be a narrative that's going to be, you're going to have to pry people's cold, dead hands off of that narrative. Right? I mean,
Oh yeah, once the narratives get established, it is very, very hard to change people's minds about things, It's like, like the CDC has come out now and said that COVID basically is a non-issue and it doesn't matter whether you're vaccinated or non-vaccinated, everybody should be treated the same. And I mean, complete 180. I'm like, huh? But all the other stuff, oh, the 6 foot distancing, and you got to have all these booster shots and all this, that was science a week ago or 2 weeks ago, whatever, before they made this announcement. Now that doesn't mean anything anymore. Like, if they can just change the narrative that quickly, you think that first narrative had any truth to it? Of course it didn't.
what do you think that I don't know what people think when they're like, oh my gosh, you mean you ruined my business? You ruined relationships in my family? Now, you could say, well, you kind of did that because you didn't do your research, right? But still, and they just get to say, oh, never mind. Never mind. It's forget that. We're coming up with something new. And so I just hope that you will really question what the heck, where's the real science? And all the people that were asking for the real science, they got shut down and they got censored, and they're still getting censored. But I think that there's real evidence. The FOIA report came out, the Freedom of Information Act, where they did show that these moms, these pregnant women who were told, I even knew a woman who was trying to get pregnant, going to an infertility clinic, and they were saying, oh no, you need to get the vaccine. And I said, hang on, before you do that, you could be, you want to be doing some research. And actually, people just got mad at me when I said stuff like that. They didn't, but now do you think they're going to come back and ever say, hey, I want to apologize. I was really rude to you guys and called you guys names, and you were right. Yeah, I just
No,
I
people don't usually come back and do that. I Some people might, but I think most people don't want to be made wrong, and they're afraid. They don't want that guilt of, oh my gosh, what could I have done to my unborn baby or my developing fetus by getting the shot? Like, they don't want to face that reality either. So I think that's a big part of it. But I mean, I think personally, it's better to learn and do better going forward. And when I, have a pet parent come in, there's like, oh my gosh, I wish I'd known all this stuff about this diet and these, not over vaccinating. I did all this stuff and I just didn't know. I'm like, well, you didn't know. You were going into who you thought was a trusted professional and you didn't know. But now that you know, do something different. I mean, there's you can only, use the information that you have, but once you know differently, you need to be doing differently. What drives me crazy is people that I know better and they just come up with, some excuse. Like traveling. Like, people want to take their pet on an airplane. Rabies vaccines are required. Current rabies vaccines are required. I have no idea if they would accept an exemption or a titer test or anything like that. But you could show up at the airport, and if you don't have, I mean, most of the time they don't even check the paperwork, is what people tell me. But that is the way it, the rules are written. And if you show up and your pet does not have a current rabies, you know, that could impact your travel. And so people do it. And my feeling is, put your pet in a car and drive. Like, I wouldn't do it. I just would not. I would not compromise my pet's health or my health ever for convenience. Find a workaround, do something else, you know, beat your family halfway, drive to a road trip, meet them. I mean, there's always workarounds, you know, and people say I have to, or, you know, someone made me get this shot for my pet or made me get a shot. Nobody makes you do anything. You made a choice to do it. And it was either out of fear or convenience or some reason, but no one made you do it. I mean, there are people that walked away from their jobs because they didn't want to get, you know, the COVID shot. And there's people that will not board their pets because they don't want to get them vaccinated. And we have a lot of workarounds for that. So do help people, you know, get in, but, you know, people will, if you're really committed to this, you know, way of keeping your pet healthy, then you need to make some decisions, and it may not be convenient, but, you know, that's what you got to do. And if you're going to make the excuse, oh, well, I had to, then, you know, then you're just making excuses for your pet getting sick.
And, you know, I think that you have to look at the attitudes, Dr. Jasek, that are going on in not only in our field, in the health field, but in the veterinarian field. Okay. So if they're really in it for the health of the pets, mm-hmm. why are they so against the things that don't contain toxins or don't contain synthetic vitamins and minerals, like the raw diet or the alternative situations if a dog has cancer? They are not giving or even recognizing that there are alternatives to chemo, like what you do with the ozone therapy and the mistletoe. And you've had success. Yeah, tell us about the dog who had osteosarcoma. Was it osteosarcoma?
Yeah. Had a bone tumor. And let's see, I have to look him up, see when we started treating him. But he came in, I mean, typical case, very, very lame. It's a front leg. And we started treating, you know, we talked about, you know, the diet, supplements. We do Chinese herbs, and we do our ozone and mistletoe. And these were very devoted pet parents. I mean, I think we saw him in here two or three times a week for quite a while. And, you know, he had some ups and downs, you know, at one point, I remember we were talking about amputation because he was getting so painful. And then he turned a corner. So it's been, let's see, going on a year. It looks like we started seeing him last September. And after about 3 or 4 months of treatment, though, he turned a corner, and they started measuring the lump, and the size of the lump was going down, and his lameness was going away. And after a few months, he was completely sound. And these folks, they live up in the foothills. He is out running all the time. This dog exercises hard, and no lameness, no pain meds. And there's no visible sign that this dog has cancer. Now they still keep up with the treatments, not as often, you know, we backed off. So they're not doing things as often, but we still see them for ozone, and they're still doing mistletoe and just, you know, rotating. You can kind of back off, you know, you don't have to give all these, like, all or the herbs and supplements every day. You can kind of rotate some things around, but he is stable and doing great. And they told me he did cut his foot over the weekend. So they took him into the ER where he had been diagnosed, and they brought it up to them, and they just still said, well, there's no evidence that any of that stuff works. Like,
but there's evidence.
The tumor's gone.
So they just thought the tumor just went away just naturally.
Yeah. I think there's this mindset that if you don't see it in a paper that's in a journal, you don't see a written research paper, that it isn't legitimate evidence. And I say, what about my 30 plus years of experience? Like, I think clinical experience should have, you know, is is definitely proof that these things work. You know, I see it with my own eyes in practice, day in and day out. And you're going to tell me that what I'm seeing just isn't true. I see dogs do just such a 180. They just improve so much. I talked to somebody last week, started the dog on a raw diet. It was a young golden retriever. And they told me this dog just doesn't feel good. It has no energy, nothing that you'd expect for a young dog. And they're like, 3 days of a diet change. And they said, it's a completely different dog. This dog has so much energy. We can't like tire it out now. So you see that over and over and over and over again. I don't need a research study to tell me that this is appropriate for our patients. And if for some reason it doesn't work, well, then, you know, we can come up with other alternatives. But I just see it so many times. I don't need a research paper to tell me how to practice. But that's the medical paradigm these days, is you have to practice what's standard of care. So if you practice, even if it's hurting pets, even if it's making them sicker, if you practice what's considered quote unquote standard of care, meaning something that's showed up in one of our, you know, veterinary journals that are, you know, peer reviewed or reviewed journals, then you're not liable. You're practicing standard of care. So you're okay. Even if the pet gets sick, the pet gets dies. Well, that was standard of care. So you cannot be liable for harm in that. And it's just wrong. It's just wrong. They just get away with so many things. Vaccines are standard of care. So you can do that. And if the pets get sick, well, you are practicing appropriate medicine and in the eyes of the, you know, licensing boards. It's just, it's wrong. It's really wrong. I mean, I don't know how veterinarians cannot, they have to be seeing this. They have to be seeing that what they're doing is making pets sick, and how they can see it day in and day out and not acknowledge it and not start to learn to practice a different way. I just don't get it. I mean, that's what I did. You know, I got into my, you know, out of vet school and was practicing. I'm like, this, things we're doing, right? We're pawns of the pharmaceutical industry. They're just coming in and training us to sell their drugs, and pets are not getting healthier. Pets are getting sicker. And that's what motivated me to, you know, investigate other things. I don't know how practitioners can sleep at night. I really don't.
Well, back to your point where they're just being told stuff, or if it's written, you know, you and I talk about this, and you even give this to your patients, garlic to as a flea and tick repellent. So one of my customers was doing the garlic until he went to the vet, and the vet said, "Oh no, 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 that is a poisonous plant, and so you cannot give that to your dog." And I said, "That's really, really strange, because they have no problems putting prescription diets, vaccines, flea and tick, and heartworm in your dog, but not real food like garlic. But because it's in a document that's, you know, dog-centered poisonous plants, right?" And there are so many people that know the benefits of garlic. It's high in inulin, amino acids, zinc, potassium. It warms the body up. It helps detoxify the body. It's a liver enhancer. You know, there's so many benefits to garlic. Now, there's certain ways that you know, need to give garlic. I think it's like it needs to be, you know, given a certain way. But just to make that blanket statement, no, it's poisonous to dogs. And you're like, we have so many people that give garlic to their dogs and they're not dead.
Right.
And they're doing better. But don't give garlic, Dr. Jasek, because you need to put this flea and tick and heartworm stuff in your dog, not real food.
Yeah, well, let's give them the real poisons instead of something like garlic. And, you know, there's this loose association that garlic is related to onions, and onions can be toxic. But these things are only toxic if they eat an enormous amount of them, especially garlic. Dogs would probably never eat enough garlic for it to be poisonous for them. And the fact that it's saving them from having to get these other pesticides, which are actually neurotoxins, you're actually giving your pets neurotoxins when you use these flea and tick products, like, that's okay. Like you said, that makes no sense. Let's not give garlic because that could be a poison. Let's give something that we know is a poison. Yeah, let's do that. And let's make your pet not a little sick or theoretically sick. Let's make it really, really sick.
Yeah.
It's just wrong.
Well, and they say that the reason for this misleading information is that most research studies base their findings on the effects of garlic extracts. So excessive dosages and an unnatural delivery of the garlic. And they say the researchers rarely use fresh garlic for dogs because they don't know what to do with the food as medicine paradigm. They don't know what to do with that. It's like, so.
And that's a really good point too. You know, when they say it's poisonous, show me that research study that proves it, because a lot of times it'll be, or they won't even be doing research on dogs. They'll be doing it on rats or mice. Another great example of this is the herb comfrey. It's a plant, very, very healing, very good for healing skin wounds. It's also known as bone knit, can help broken bones heal. Well, there's information out there that says, well, it's toxic. Well, there is a study that was done years ago where they gave like 6 week old rats, like an exorbitant amount of it, and it killed them. And like, okay, well, don't give that amount to 6 week old rats and you're probably fine. But in the real world, in like regular dosing, it's perfectly safe. So you have to ask these questions, ask where this information is coming from. And I think at a lot of times, probably most of the time, you will find that it's just not valid. It's just all made up.
Right. So someone sent me, actually it was a review the other day, and it's on the website. She said, again, one of those situations where they didn't know about raw, they didn't know about alternative things that they could do, and their dog died. And so she said, I vowed that when I get a puppy, I was going to do it different this time. And she said, however, my vet does not agree with the raw diet, gave me all sorts of information, which I would love to see that information. Mm-hmm. I should contact her. Let me see it. About why it was dangerous to feed a raw diet. And she was one of the pusher backers, I should call them. She said, I told my vet, I'm not switching off the raw diet. My dog is doing great. He looks great. You know, there's nothing wrong with my dog. And she said, we're just going to have to agree to disagree. And I loved that. Yeah, I love that. But again, I would very much like to know, what is the actual factual information that the vets are giving to their clients that poo-poo the raw diet? I would love to see that. And I guarantee you, Dr. Jasek, it has to be. It's not balanced and it has bacteria. Those are the only two things that they ever can come out with. And it's like partially true in the fact that I have seen some raw diets out there. I actually had someone contact me the other day to see if I wanted to sell something. I'm looking at the diet. I'm like, where are the organs? Where are the bone? Well, they're not in there. And actually it said on one of their labels, veterinarians suggest that you add potatoes and sweet potato and peas. And I was like, okay, so that's wrong, right? That's not a good raw diet. And yet some people will buy this unknowingly. So in that aspect, yes, your vet would be correct, but they're not saying the benefits of raw diet when you do it correctly with meat, bones, organ, fat, and then add in, you know, the other things like tripe or duck heads or those are perfectly great and fine. And we see a lot of dogs doing well. So it's like these half truths that are being told. And then the whole bacteria thing. I mean, I said this on another podcast where I'm finally, you know, I ask this question, I never get back the information where somebody says, you know, my dog has dangerous bacteria loads. Well, what was it? And what was the strain? What was the load? And then what's the benchmark for what's dangerous and what's not? And what, where did you get that benchmark?
Yeah. And how did they measure that? And, you know, nobody asks those. And these things are always so nonspecific. Dangerous bacteria loads. Well, dangerous, who said they're dangerous? And what kind of bacteria is it? And prove to me that it's dangerous. You know, people don't ask that questions. And if you really listen to what's being said, it's very vague and nonspecific. And there's absolutely nothing to back it up. I would just love to go into one of these clinics one of these days and just grill them on this stuff. Would that be fun?
It would be very fun. We'd probably get thrown out.
That's okay.
Because I think that what people do when they don't really have a comeback, they don't really have the information that we're asking, they just shut the conversation down. Well, we're not going to discuss this right now. You know, I have to get back to you. You know, I'm busy, whatever, you know, but if you really are in the business of helping pets, then you should have answers and you should be able to get all sides of the information because that is the business that you're in. If that is the business that you're in, but I fear, and I see that that is not the business they're in. And, right. and yet they, maybe there's some sort of a hypnotic music that is playing when people walk into a vet's office. I'm thinking that that's what it shuts their mind down. I'm thinking if there's any music in there, you know, maybe there's something because it's like all of a sudden people just lose their reasoning skills.
I know. And I think some people, you know, they get a little intimidated. It's a doctor, you know, white coat and all that stuff, but you know, they're just people and you absolutely have the right. I think you have an obligation to advocate for your pets. You have these animals are depending on you to make the right decisions and make informed decisions. And if you're not sure, don't do it. Go get another opinion. There's absolutely nothing wrong with second opinions or third opinions. I mean, that's what I, you know, a lot of times the cases I see, I'm the second, third, fourth vet that they've seen. Go get other opinions. Do you find one that resonates with you? Don't just believe the first thing you hear. Go, you know, go talk to somebody else. Say, wait a second. No, I'm going to wait. I want to research this a little bit. I want to get another opinion. You have every right to do that. And no honest, ethical practitioner would care about that. I mean, they should be sound in how they treat and how they believe in treating. That you going getting a second opinion should not be threatening to them. If it is, then they're lying to you, I think.
Well, and you can, I could ask you, let's just say that one of my dogs had cancer or something like that. I could ask you, all right, tell me about the success that you've had with this procedure. Tell me what you've seen with this procedure. Now tell me what the success rate has been with chemo or what the dog's life is like with chemo, right? There's, you would answer those questions and not be offended that I'm asking.
Right. Right. And I'd answer them honestly and I can sleep at night because I'm honest with people. I don't always tell people what they want to hear, but I am honest with people. And I end my day knowing that I have spoke my truth and lived my truth to the best of my ability. And I don't know how practitioners that practice medicine otherwise, I really don't know how they can live with themselves.
I did want to give you an update on, you know, we're doing the testosterone shots in Asta. And I think that maybe this is the third or fourth one because you did some and then sent us home and we're doing it. And I said to Rick, because she got another shot just the other day, and I said, man, she's getting down these steps. And it's not a very big step, you know, it's just a step down out the front door. But what she was doing was her back end would sort of swing out as she was just doing this one little step, right? Because she didn't have much strength on that side. And I said, wow, I'm noticing her back end is not swinging around. And he said, and you know what else? She's not dragging that foot.
Oh, nice.
So I just wanted to give you that update. I'll kind of continue to monitor that. But see, now that is something that I believe in, because I believe in like the natural testosterone for women and the pellets and that sort of thing. And so it's not something that I've ever done, but I trust you, and I trust, you know, watching to see what something on the holistic side will do for my pet. I mean, Austin's going to be 14 this year. You don't see that many German Shepherds in as good. And if you look at her, she's not itching. She doesn't have poop problems, nothing. It's just at this back end, because she had that ACL tear, and she's got that scar tissue, and she's got, you know, and she is very angled. And I have to think that the way that they have bred these West German show lines, where they're very angled down, that at some point that's not going to hold that body up as well as it should.
Right. Not normal conformation.
Yeah, but I guarantee, Dr. Jasek, there's no traditional vet that would have suggested that. Hey, let's try this. Let's see. Yeah.
And why not? I mean, it's not doing it. That's the way I look at things. If it's not going to do any harm, I mean, really, what harm is, you know, one or two testosterone shots going to do? Really nothing. And like in Asta's case, this is preventing you from having to put her on pharmaceuticals and pain medication. It'll reduce her dependence on that. Even if maybe some days or at some point she does need like an anti-inflammatory just to keep her comfortable. And I do think it's important to preserve their quality of life. But by doing something like this, you're helping to prevent that dependency on the pharmaceuticals. And this is way, way healthier than just putting her on the drugs.
Well, not just preventing putting her on the drugs, but preventing having to put her down.
Well, yeah, that too. So sure.
Right. Because
it's working.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you've got a large dog. I mean, she's a large dog, and you know, when they can no longer get up to eat, get up to go drink water, get up to go outside, you're going to have to let them go.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that usually is the end for large breed dogs, is that hind end weakness where they can't get around anymore. It's not usually like physiological, like they go into liver failure or something like that. It's usually those hind ends get so weak that they can't get around, and then they get incontinent, and it's just not an acceptable quality of life for them anymore. And then, yeah, they end up being put down. So yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. I mean, and she's not incontinent at all. So, you know, I mean, and obviously her hearing's kind of going, and her eyesight, you know, is going. And I so wish that we could preserve their eyes longer, you know, in these dogs. Do you have any thoughts on that? How do you preserve an animal's eyes longer?
You know, that's a good question. And it's really variable, because I mean, all older dogs, their vision will start to fade. I would say hearing probably is most consistent that goes. But I would say anything you do that keeps the nervous system healthy, because this is all neurologic, you know, they see with the brain, really, the optic nerve, and the same with the hearing. So keeping, you know, good brain health. So your fish, the omega-3s, good healthy fats in the diet. I mean, I think nutrition probably is a big part. And again, minimizing the toxicity. You know, every time a pet gets a vaccine that's potentially inflammatory to the brain, that could be affecting, you know, the eyesight and the hearing. And, you know, I think it's going to be a consequence of age, probably, no matter what. But if we can keep pets, you know, seeing better for longer, so they can at least get around safely, then that would be a benefit. But I think it's all the same stuff. It's good nutrition and keeping them from, you know, being exposed to toxins, including things like EMF. I mean, I think that's a big issue. And people don't like to hear that one so much, because people like to have their phones nearby and their Wi-Fi on and all of this. But I think that's a huge factor. And I think it's going to become way, way more significant for our pets as they roll out more of this stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we got Asta when she was 2.5 from a breeder. And so I would assume that she had a lot of vaccines and a lot of stuff pumped into her in those 2.5 years. So with Lazi, it's going to be a little, you know, different. And I don't know where the industry is going to be in 15 years. You may never get an update on Lazi, but at least I will know, right? I will be able to see the difference in what a clean dog is and what a, you know, a toxic dog is. And obviously we've done a lot of things with Asta to keep her or to get her cleaner, you know, as clean as we can from whatever she was subjected to back at 2.5 years old. But yeah, you gotta push back, ask questions. I think asking questions is always so important. And we must be making some progress, Dr. JC, because I do have customers that will say, hey, my vet said this, what do you think?
Yeah, they're asking. Yeah.
You know, I had someone the other day who said, my vet is suggesting that we do grains. What do you think? And I, you know, I said, well, that narrative is out there, but is it really true? Let me give you some information so you can decide. And I didn't hear back, but I don't know what they decided to do. And, but at least I presented them with the information, you know, from Tufts University and what they found, how they skewed the narrative. And then I said, go in and ask. I mean, number one, has your pet, your vet done a taurine test? Do they know what, where the taurine level is? Or is it just, oh, well, you need this, so just in case. And I'm like, that doesn't even really make sense.
Yeah, but, and grains are not a source of taurine anyway. I mean, there's probably some in there, but I very first heard that. I'm like, well, if we just feed them a fresh meat diet, the best source of taurine is fresh meat and especially the organs. So just feed them the raw diet. And the taurine's the only thing that's definitively been linked to heart disease nutritionally, that if a pet's deficient in taurine, that it can affect the heart. We learned this decades ago, probably 20, 25 years ago in cats, because they were not putting enough taurine in cat food, and cats were getting cardiomyopathy and they were having, retinal detachment or some retinal abnormality from the low taurine. So they figured out that you had to put it in there. Dogs can make a little bit of taurine, but they still benefit from having it in the diet. So feed the best source of taurine. It isn't grain. It's like they made this loose correlation between the grain-free diets, the what they call the boutique diets, which are the grain-free that, but they have the lentils and beans and peas and all that. And then they lumped raw food in with anything that didn't have grain in it. They just lumped it all together. But these are like these diets that they lumped in this category, these boutique diets, they're all so different from each other. You can't make any generalizations based on that. I mean, the whole thing was just ridiculous.
Well, not only that, but you got to wonder, okay, so everybody was taking grains out of their diet as a human, so they decided they were going to take it out for the dogs. Now, were those companies that were supplying these grains putting pressure on the industry? Did the industry own both sides? Were they financing both sides? So you had people running to the grain free and now you got them running back to the grain. I mean, it's just so convoluted and silly. You know, so we have to get down to the truth, and that takes time. Obviously, people seem to not have time anymore. I don't. Where did time go? Somewhere it disappeared.
I think we just get distracted so easily, and I think I'm the same way. There's so much information coming at us with our computers, and everything just moves so fast that I think we're healthier if we slow the pace a bit, not keep, you know, moving things faster. You know, another thing on this, the grain topic too, is when things don't make sense, I always say, follow the money. Somebody's making money. When propaganda doesn't make sense, somebody's making money off of that propaganda. And you just need to do some digging around. And I bet you that was all pushed out there by Hill's and Royal Canin and all these food manufacturers that whose diets are primarily grain-based because they were losing money because people were moving away from the grains. There was this whole push to move away from grains and gluten, and people were jumping on these grain-free diets, and they're like, uh-oh, we're losing too much money. We got to make people afraid, you know, make people afraid of something, and you can get them to do anything. And so let's make them afraid of those grain-free diets and tell them if they don't feed grain, then their dog's going to die of heart disease. And it worked. A lot of people bought into it. A lot of veterinarians bought into it.
Well, you know, if we've learned one thing in the last couple of years, it's this. If you're really after the truth, you don't censor. You don't shut right. people down. You don't shut down the conversation. If you're really into the truth, you come up with the actual facts and you come up with the actual evidence. You don't hide it, bury it, censor people for talking about it, take them down, not let the information out. That is a big clue.
Mm-hmm.
A big clue. Because it's mm-hmm. like, well, if you're so sure, what, as you said before, let's just have a debate. I'll present my side. You can present your side. And then we'll let the people decide. That is not what is happening. And it's mm-hmm. not, it is not happening in our healthcare on either side for pets or people.
And yeah, what happened to healthy debate? Why can't we get into a discussion and you tell me your viewpoint, I'll tell you mine. Maybe they don't agree. Maybe we could learn from each other. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, let me think about that. Where did you get that information? You know, and you can bounce stuff back and forth. It's okay to not agree. Now there's just like, there's right and there's wrong, you know, and you're either right or you're wrong, or you're red or you're blue, or, you know, it's like there's so much divisiveness these days. Why can't we have a discussion? Well, yeah, I don't really subscribe to your point of view, but I'd love to hear about it. Tell me more about that. Maybe I can learn something. You know, what happened to that? And it's pretty sad because I think it's made people become just so much more closed-minded.
Well, and the thing about it is people may say, look, this is a pet show. This is a pet podcast. Why do you talk about the human side? And I say over and over again, because if you do not have health freedom on your side, on our side, on the human side, you are never going to have it on the animal side.
Right. It's all the same industry. It's all the same, you know, these are the same big corporations and it's the same game and it's the same line of propaganda, and they make money off of pets just like they do off of people. And so I think it is very, very relevant. And part of the reason I think it's good to talk about this is people don't make that correlation. Like, you know, we've talked about, I've seen people come in that are just like so into holistic health for, you know, their pet. And, you know, they want to do everything right. Don't want to do vaccines. Want to feed a right diet, but then they'll run out and believe all the propaganda about human medicine and buy into the fear and get themselves vaccinated and all of this stuff. It's like, it's the same thing. And then I see the opposite, people that are like, live these completely holistic lifestyles for themselves and, you know, don't believe in some of these mandates, but then they'll buy into the fear for their pet. It's all the same industry. It's all the same narrative. And that it baffles me how you can believe one way on one side of the coin, but not on the other. I don't understand that. That's a mystery to me.
Right. Because it is true. It's not like there's a pharmaceutical side for pets mm-hmm. and a totally different one for people. I mean, they're all the same.
Right. Totally.
Right.
Totally.
Well, everybody, get yourself a second opinion. It doesn't matter what issue. I think, you know, Dr. Jasek, as you said, you've been doing this for 30 years. And that is so valuable, right? That is so valuable that you've seen both sides. You have alternatives. You can give people the information that they're looking for. You know, what have you seen over here? What do you think about this? Tell me what I think. On the holistic side, you are more willing to do what I was talking about on the podcast last night, which is that informed consent. You're willing to answer mm-hmm. questions. You're willing to say, here's the procedure, here's the risk, the benefits, and the alternatives. And for some reason, on the traditional side, whether it is time is money and we're owned by a corporate company and we're not able to do that, that is just not happening. That is just not happening. And if you have a vet that gets angry, that shuts you down, that basically is censoring you as a pet parent, I would get the heck out of there. I would move on and find a vet that is willing to open their eyes and open their mind because they are in the health business. And this is what you get by working with Dr. Judy Jasek. You can find her on my website. She's in my experts page. Just go right there. You can click it right there and go right to her site. Super easy. Okay. Super duper easy. She can Zoom with you. It's just a great benefit to have you in their tool chest, Dr. Jasek.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. And you should be given, you know, you should be given choices when you go into the vet. You know, I can't make decisions for people, but I will give you the information the best that I know at that point in time as it relates to your pet. And then you get to decide what path you're going to take. And most people, you know, follow our recommendations because that's why they're here. They're looking for a different way. But if you're not getting choices and you're getting bullied and you're being told you have to do this, or, you know, it's illegal if you don't do this, or that, you know, your pet's going to die if you don't do this, don't believe those strong statements, because most of the time that's just fear propaganda.
Yeah. At least wait till you speak with Dr. Judy Jasek. She's at ahavet.com. You can at least get your dog on a species appropriate diet, because nutrition is everything. Get the offending foods out of the diet before you decide to do an allergy test. Okay. Because you just got to get yourself on a species appropriate diet first. And then we can take a look if we haven't cured the itchies and that sort of thing. But don't waste your money on that. Get yourself on a species, get your dogs, not yourself. Don't eat this food. Get your dogs on a species appropriate diet. Go to rawdogfoodandco.com today, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.